Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Go back to the Middle East, and I sat on Saturday night, I was watching the golf, and the Queen Bee came into the television room and she said, switch over to Sky News quickly there to see what's going on. And I'd been watching it on my phone, what was going on with the launch of these 300 missiles and drones from Iran into Israel. And we turned on Sky News and I said to her, I said, well, the Israeli defense mechanism will deal with that. They'll go nowhere. The Iron Dome and all. But it's just an indication of how things are going in the Middle East. We don't know yet whether Israel will respond in kind. We don't know what they'll do, if they do anything. They're being advised, it would seem, this morning by both the US and the United Kingdom, of course, both supplying them with arms at the same time. But they're being advised by both the US and the UK to just let it there. Iran launched these 300 missiles and drones, knowing full well, and that's the thing, knowing full well that Israel would shoot them down because it has one of the most advanced and technologically advanced defence mechanisms in the entire world. But where are we now? And Joe O'Shea was writing about this in the Mirror recently. My wife was quite upset watching this on Saturday night, now thinking mostly about, you know, Jem, who's away down under and inside the world. And I'm thinking, well, look, she's thousands and thousands of miles away from it, and if we need to get her home, we'll get her home, kind of thing. But still, it's worrying times. And listening to the media over the weekend and watching the television and reading the papers, people are very, very worried now about what's happening in the Middle East. I tend to be different, and I'll talk to Joe in a sec. I tend to be different myself. I tend not to get overly concerned about things I can't control. I think it works better for me going through life. But Joe, you've been writing about this. Should we now be worried here in humble Cork about what's happening out in the Middle East? Good morning to you.
Good morning. Yeah, we certainly should, PJ. I mean, for a whole lot of reasons. First of all, this is kind of the existential thing of, oh my God, what direction is the world going in? Because, you know, it seems to be just getting scarier and scarier and more out of control. And, you know, the US, the UK and Europe have basically almost told Israel, do not escalate this any further. But of course, we know that the Israeli government is the type of government that's not going to listen to the international community, and there's every chance they can escalate it against Iran. One of the interesting things is the reason that, and I've been looking very carefully at this, one of the reasons why so much of the missiles and the drones were intercepted was, it appears Iran gave 48 hours warning notice, basically, via Iraq to the US and via Turkey to the US to say, this is what we're planning to do. Here's where they'll be flying. We have to do something because we can't just, because it's forgotten as well that the reason why the Iranians did this is because the Israelis hit the Iranian embassy in Syria,
yes,
and killed something like 9 top-level guys, you know, from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Now, whatever you think about the Iranian regime, and it's a terrible, horrible, oppressive regime that, you know, is busy murdering and oppressing its own people, you know, they are saying, well, we have, you know, everybody's been saying Israel has the right to defend ourselves. Do we have the right to defend ourselves? Because Israel hit sovereign territory and killed 9 of our guys. So, like, you know, and you ask me, should we worry about it here? People might remember the cost of living crisis that we're still enduring. that all started and was accelerated by the Russians invading Ukraine. And suddenly, you know, our energy prices go up and there's a worry in the world and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, you know, in a very real way, 40% of Europe's oil goes through the Straits of Hormuz. The Iranians could basically close that down in the morning. And if they do, we're into another shock, another energy shock, another energy crisis, and more fuel on the fire of the cost of living crisis. So, unfortunately, while this is scary, and it, you know, you'd rather not have to deal with it or think about it, it could impact us in a very real way by the end of this week at the petrol, you know, at the petrol station, at with your power bills, with the economy. It's all interconnected, and that's why. It's, I find it so scary.
Come back to Saturday night, though. And I do remember saying to my wife as she watched it, like, this was entirely stage managed. Because, yes, you said the Iranians told everybody, and they did. But they also knew, when they were launching those drones and missiles, they knew they'd be shot down. They knew this. Yeah.
This is the bizarre thing, the weird world that we find ourselves in today. It's all theatre in some respects, because now the Israelis, who, you know, there is an argument, or Pete, there are some analysts who say Israel wants to drag the US into a conflict with Iran, because Israel's real problem is with the Iranians, who, as we know, are funding proxy wars all over and proxy organizations that they use to hit the West, they used to hit Iran, Israel. So, like, you know, in one respect, you kind of feel if somebody, and Joe Biden maybe can, if some leader needs to stand up and say, this has to stop. Everybody just stop. Stop bombing Gaza, ceasefire. Stop Iran, stop sending drones. Because we all know where this is heading, and they all know where this is heading. It's a very complicated, dangerous dance that we're just bystanders.
It's like a game of chess, and if we get to checkmate, we're in trouble.
Yeah, it is. And again, like, and in Ireland, you know, people might think, well, you know, what do we have to worry about? It's all the way over there. We're living in a very dangerous world now. We've seen this weird, this strange development of what they call asymmetrical warfare, where it's not just armies facing each other across, you know, hundreds of miles of fronts. It's drones. It's a cyber attacks on your, you know, critical facilities. And we've seen that here in Ireland. We've seen the HSE held to ransom by probably a state-funded you know, gangster operation, basically, that you hacked in and took all the information and crippled systems. That can happen so easily. Look at our power grid. I mean, very easy to hack into it if you're in Russia, for instance, you know, and you want to either blackmail or cause disruption as they have across Europe. Like, we're in a really, really interconnected world, and we can't just kind of say, well, it's not going to affect us, you know?
Yeah. Who would benefit, though? Joe, realistically, this is like a conversation down the pub. Who'd benefit from a world war? We all know who'd lose out, the rest of us, but who'd benefit?
Well, you know, you have these regimes, you have Russia and Iran, who they depend on destabilizing the West. They want, you know, they're effectively gangster regimes. I mean, at the top, you know, they're controlled by men who want power, who want money, who want influence. And in Putin's case, he hides behind the flag and he's a nationalist and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, they benefit because they stay in power. They hold on to power. And Benjamin Netanyahu, you know, in one way, you could say we're kind of the Western world is being held to ransom by the Israeli government that is refusing to listen to anybody, refusing to stop what they're doing in Gaza, because it's surely gone on. What more can they achieve by bombing the rubble that's already there? You know, how can you break Hezbollah when Hezbollah now are, you know, a couple of hundred guys in a bunker somewhere that can't even show their faces, you know?
Well, they did on Saturday night, or was it Saturday night or early Sunday morning, Israel did bomb a place where Hezbollah, they weren't there. There was no people there, but it's a place that they're known to keep as a bunker and keep weapons there. And Israel bombed it, knowing there was nobody there. Again, it was another sign of, listen, this is what we can do and what we will do.
But at this stage in Gaza, they're bombing piles of rubble.
Yeah,
you know,
they are, yeah.
It's like you're continuing to smash something to pieces with a hammer long after it's gone, you know?
Do you think if Gaza stopped, Joe, I mean, I've said this a couple of weeks ago, people have asked, where do you stand? Where are we supposed to stand with this? I just want it to stop, and I don't actually care who stops it. Would it, if it stopped tomorrow, would this stop?
It has to stop. I mean, because, and the strange thing is, in the 90s, we're so close to a two-state agreement with Bill Clinton and Yasser Arafat and the Israeli government at the time. And if it had happened, the world would have been in a very different place, you know? You made a good point. We might sound like two guys down the pub having a conversation about world events and what can we do about it here and how can, but it seems crazy that we have to stand by and let this happen. And in fairness to the Irish government, you know, have in some respects been the loudest voice in terms of trying to win some sort of sanity and some sort of protection for the people of Gaza. You know, and Ireland and the Spanish government, the Irish government, the Spanish government are now talking about recognizing the state of Palestine, which would, it might be a symbolic thing, but, you know, at least we can do it.
Well, it is a symbolic thing, seeing as that there is no such actual state, but it is a symbolic. Frank wants me to ask you about the fact that Shannon Airport is still being used as a transit hub.
Yeah, I mean, I understand people are upset about that. And in some respects, the Irish government, you know, it has to kind of say to the US as well, we're not happy with this happening. And it may be being said behind the scenes, but we are unfortunately reduced to symbolic acts, you know, in many cases. And I'm sure if the Irish government said, right, that's it, no more flights from the US through Shannon, we would probably be inviting some sort of violation of international, you know, rules on traffic and air transport and stuff like that. It's a very difficult situation for the Irish government and Shannon, but also you have to applaud the fact that even if there are symbolic gestures, such as, you know, backing calls for a ceasefire at the UN, such as recognizing Palestinian statehood, at least we are one of the few countries in Europe and in the world, along with the Spanish and some other countries, that are trying to do that, and the South Africans as well. Mm. When it comes to a country like Ireland, we may be small, but through the years we've shown that, you know, even standing up and saying and asking or calling for justice or calling for peace or calling for a rat.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
National approach, it does make a difference in the long run. And if it's the most we can do, if it's, you know, if it's all we can do, then at least we do it.
The only thing that frightens me at the moment, Joe, is that, and I think you make the point in your column, and the point was made here previously by a military-based researcher that we spoke, or guest that we spoke to. We are practically defenseless if anything did happen.
This is, and I made the point in the column I wrote for the Mirror yesterday. we have this issue in Ireland. We can't talk, you can't have a rational conversation about Irish neutrality, right? People just get upset. They seem to think that the minute you raise any kind of suggestion that we should be involved in military alliances or stuff like that, people immediately are screaming, right, you want your son or sons and daughters to march in Moscow, or you want us all to die in a nuclear warlock and stuff. Putting Irish neutrality to one side, we should at least have the basics to defend ourselves. We underfund our defence force.
We've half a navy
almost
at the moment.
Farcical. We don't even have half a navy. And here's the thing: we have very professional defence forces.
Our rangers are teaching people all over the world. Our rangers are the best. Yeah. Are considered among the best in the Northern Hemisphere. Yeah. But there's only a handful of them.
Yeah, but yes, a great elite special forces. Just think about Irish down the generations in history. It's not as if we're bad at military stuff, right? I mean, like, for God's sake, Irish regiments fought across Europe for 500 years. It's not as if we don't have a military tradition. But what we do have is decades of underfunding of our defence forces to the point where we are virtually defenceless.
Yeah.
Like, we depend on the RAF, the Royal Navy. You know, we depend on our, in some ways, traditional, you know, enemy, or so to speak, or historical, sorry, you know, to defend our waters and our skies. You know, so at the very least, we should be funding a basic defense forces and giving, you know, and very proud people in our defense forces as well, in the Navy in Cork and in the Army around the country. They want to do a good job. They want the resources. They want the materials that they need. We have to give them. We can't just take it as read that because we're an island out in the edge of Europe and we don't have any enemies, but we are living in a dangerous world where threats and attacks can come from any direction in any form. And one other thing, I know I'm ranting on here, we also have to fund our cyber defences as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start taking that very, very seriously because, like I said, it would not take a loss to knock out our national power grid.
As we saw with the HSE. Joe, thank you. Joe Shea's column, Rebel with the Cause, appears weekly in the Irish Daily Mirror. And of course, he's the editor of Cork Bio. Joe, thank you very much. And indeed, an occasional presenter of this here programme. 0818 96 96 96. Tom says, I'd be very afraid of Iran. They fear no one. They have the money. They have the arms. They have American planes and can do anything that America can do, says Tom. Kev, what the Iranian public would have seen on their media was Iran taking revenge for their attack on the embassy in Syria. Iran telegraphed everything through Turkey. Israel needs to wind its neck in a small bit here in terms of Iran. It's bad enough what's happening in Gaza. That's in the ICC and being investigated as a genocide. Who benefits? Netanyahu stays in power as long as Israel are under threat. Yeah, I just thought, I was just, the whole thing Saturday night, I saw the missiles being launched, or at least it came up as a news flash while I was watching the golf. And initially I didn't turn off the golf because I said, that's all been stage managed. I'd heard about it, of course, days previous. It's all been stage managed, every single one of those. I said it to my wife when she came down and said, turn on Sky News quickly. I turned on Sky News and I said, every single one of those will be harmlessly shot down. I think one landed, and there was one unfortunate incident where a little girl was hurt, and that's desperately sad. But in of the 300, we'll say 299 of them were intercepted and shot down. And here's the point. Iran knew that was going to happen. Iran absolutely knew that would happen. In fact, the landing of one of them and the injuring of a person under a child, that was an accident. Iran never meant that to happen. Iran never expected that to happen. They fully expected the whole lot to be shut down. And what you have here is a bit like international willy-waving between Israel and Iran at the moment. You know? But very worrying on the other hand. 0818 96 96 96. So, I was chatting with Joe from Cork Bio and indeed from the Irish Mirror about, you know, whether we should be worried, concerned, frightened even, about the developments in the Middle East over the past few days. And just throwing it out there to know, are you worried, concerned, frightened about what might be happening in the Middle East? Kevin, morning.
Morning, PJ. How are you?
Good. Are you concerned going around North Cork day to day?
Concerned, yes. Worried, frightened, no. But worried, concerned for sure, definitely. I mean, can you imagine the situation? You talked to farmers there in the last month about crops that should be in the ground that aren't.
Yeah.
And you throw into a scenario where you have Iran and Israel go at it. What's the first thing that happens? Is fuel supplies, the global fuel supply grinds to a snail's pace. Throw that in on top of everything else, cost of living crisis. And the cost of imports goes through the roof because if ships can't get fuel, they can't get to where they need to be. The knock-on effects from just that one thing alone with a fuel shortage, people still remember talk about what happened in the 70s with people queuing up at petrol stations for petrol. So, yeah. You know, and that can happen really fast. You know, I mean, we're in a very interlinked global economy where everything flows seamlessly, but it doesn't take much to throw it off kilter. Mm. And this would be like throwing a hand grenade into a little barrel of how much trouble this could cause, just on that one aspect alone.
Yeah.
And then you look at the other side of it, if that started, it's not going to stop there. I mean, I sent in a WhatsApp to you guys earlier on, and it was literally like, what Iran did, they telegraphed, it was choreographed. Mm. It wasn't telegraphed, it was choreographed.
Stage managed, even.
Yeah. It was. I went out Saturday night. I saw what was going on. I looked on Sky News. I saw what was going on. I thought, I'm going out for a few scoops here. I come home. Has the world ended yet? Nah. Exactly like you said. It played out exactly like I thought it would. But the problem that I'm seeing at the minute is Netanyahu is doing everything he humanly possibly can to prevent one question being asked. He was in power on October 7th. How did you let it happen? And he is doing everything humanly possible to make sure that the Israeli people are not asking that question. And that includes them coming out and saying, we're going to react to what Iran did. In reality, Iran just reacted to what Israel did. And it's tit-for-tat stuff that's playing. And you were right. Your description was very apt. And, you know, people who are listening know what you said. It's like watching children in the playground at this stage on an international stage with potentially nuclear powers. It's the most dangerous I can remember the world being since Iraq.
Yeah.
And should people be concerned? Absolutely, 100% people should be concerned. But frightened? Absolutely not.
If you look at but Israel's two biggest allies, America and Britain.
Yeah.
Both. And Cameron, you know, and he's a man who's impressed me since he came back to the fore. Cameron, he's outspoken enough. Cameron is very much saying to Netanyahu, steady on now, boy. Steady on a bit. Yeah. Right? And now, at the same time, he's sending him more weapons. But he's saying,
I know.
Steady on a bit. Joe Biden, unfortunately, poor old Joe, you feel sorry for him these days. He doesn't seem to have the races at all. But what he is saying is, steady on. They're both saying, steady on. Will he listen? Will Bibi listen?
The thing is, both of those governments in the US and the UK have an election to fight in the coming months.
True.
Biden will not put American troops on foreign soil to fight in a war that is not of their making. It just won't happen. He may as well, Donald Trump could get sent to jail for whatever, and Donald Trump will govern from jail as president, because he may as well just leave the race and hand it to him if he decides to back Netanyahu to the hilt. And he's told him as much. He's like, if you want to go and carry on this, you are on your jack. But at the end of the day, the British economy and the American economy runs on arms sales. It has done for years. War makes money.
That's right.
It goes back to the 1940s and the Second World War. America did not get involved in the Second World War until Pearl Harbor happened. They were making money from it, but they weren't involved in it. And nothing has changed since then. War makes money.
Yeah, and that's true, isn't it?
It's a horrible thing to say, but it is a fact.
Yeah, and my late father-in-law used to always say it, Kev, thank you. My late father-in-law, Eddie, always used to say it, and he was only talking about the North, and he used to say, do you know, things like the North, they only stop when someone stops making money out of it. And there's a lot to be said for it. This is Micheál Martin talking about the Iranian situation.
This is of huge concern to the entire world. It's of particular concern to the people of the region who have suffered far too much. We have too much war in the world, and every effort has to be made to de-escalate the situation in the Middle East, and particularly in respect of the hostilities between Iran and Israel. We acknowledge that, and there's no question but that Iran has been a malign actor and has been a shadow war of a form through the various proxies, be it Hamas, Hezbollah, or the Houthis. But this was the first full-on country attack on another country, albeit the nature of it is such that the defences were able to deal with it, and the quite a number of countries came to the aid of Israel to defend against the missiles and against the drones. And what is required now is a de-escalation of this particular aspect of it. We need an end to the war in Gaza. The suffering of the people of Gaza cannot be overlooked in this situation. And famine is across Gaza now. We need an urgent cessation of violence there. And that is what the international community want. The European Union foreign ministers will be meeting tomorrow. And I have no doubt that will be the simple call that will emerge from that.
That's Micheál Martin speaking at Thonish, Minister of Foreign Affairs.
Cork's 96 FM.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.